You know, I'm going to ask in a moment, Pastor Charlie, who runs our Port Care and as our community pastor. We all love Charlie, right? Pastor Charlie is a great guy. I'm sure he knows everyone here already. And we're looking forward to him sharing our Easter message. Pastor Charlie, why don't you come? Yeah, come on, let's give him a hand. I love you, Charlie.
What's the matter with you all? What's the matter with you all? Come on, please. Do you really love me? No, do you? Throw money. Come on. Throw money. Oh, praise God. I'm ready. I'm just about ready to go. I'm ready to be risen. I'm ready to go to be with the Lord. That was such a great, that was an awesome, great time of praise. But then I thought about it. My son's getting married next week. I can't go just yet. I've got to hang around. I've got to be here a little bit. I've got to be here a little bit more longer. Oh, praise God. It's so wonderful. Mary, Anne, and Ross Rowlands are in the house. Not on their own. With their added baby. Let's give them a big round of applause. Fantastic. Wonderful to see you both. So I hope you're all having a great weekend. I hope your football team won, the Dockers. 2 points against Melbourne. That was all right, wasn't it? That was a good win. That was fantastic. Graham Vert, a great Dockers fan. Now, Graham Vert was the silver-headed chap that just spoke up there. Now, when he says that he was the chief of, you know, he was a really bad boy, he was really a bad boy. He was a bad egg. Seriously, he was. He was shocking. But thank God that he came into your life and changed you. And you are such a positive role model in our community. Isn't that good? You know, the problem of the human heart is the heart of the human problem. And Jesus transformed his heart. And he did that to me. And it was just wonderful. Pastor Nigel and Pastor Andrew, thank you very much this morning for the opportunity to speak today. You will not regret this. It's going to be all right. Okay, so what I want to share about this morning is the amazing love of God, the amazing love of Jesus. And my title this morning is The Invitation. The Invitation. And this invitation is important to you because you want to make sure that you say yes to this invitation. You really want to say yes to this invitation. I have met many people and I have talked to them about Jesus. Just the other night, I'm involved at the East Mariner Football Club and I had one gentleman who's part of helping out down there, and he pulls me aside and says, Charlie, tomorrow I celebrate 3 years, I celebrate my first anniversary from having a stent put in my heart. And he says, I've had 3 heart attacks. And he says, you know, God's looked after me. And so I began to talk to him a little bit more. And I said to him, have you ever asked Jesus into your heart? He goes, no, I've never, you know, nothing like that at all. I said, okay. I says, come with me. So we walked, and then we stopped. And we talked, and I said to him, and I picked up this little blade of grass. I says, if you've got just a little bit of faith, just a little bit of trust in Jesus right now, he'll come into your life, and he will touch you. He'll forgive you of your sin, and you will have eternal life. I picked it up, and I threw it on the ground. And I prayed with him. I says, pray this prayer with me. And he prayed with me, and he asked Jesus into his heart. I says, you know, Brian, you have eternal life right now because you just put that little bit of trust, that little bit of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Last year, at the same club, and what I do down there is I sometimes just jog around the oval a little bit, and I'm jogging around the oval, And another gentleman, very elderly, he ran this way. Oh, slow jog. I was going a bit faster. I'm a bit younger, you know. Anyway, I came to him and he kind of, Charlie. And, g'day, Noel, how are you going? You know, started chatting. He said, Charlie, you know, I was in the war. And he got shot. Anyway, he was bleeding profusely on the ground. And he's really struggled. He said to me, Charlie, you know what I did? I said, Charlie, I prayed. I prayed the Our Father. And he prayed the Our Father. And anyway, someone came along and picked him up, threw him on his shoulder, and took him to safety. And he got to this point, they rolled over this ridge, and he got to where their camp was. He said, you know, God really saved me. I got a hold of Noel's hand, and I said, Noel, let's pray this prayer. He said, sure, and he repeated after me, and he asked Jesus Christ into his life. The invitation is that the God of heaven is knocking at your door. The Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God, the Wonderful Counselor, the Creator of the universe, He spoke the universe into existence, is standing at your door, knocking, ringing the bell. Knocking at the door of your heart. Knocking at the door of your heart. In Revelations chapter 3 and verse 20, it says this. Thank you, Conrad. Here I am. Here I am. Jesus says, here I am, standing at the door. And knock, and he's knocking. If anyone hears me and opens the door, I will come in. I will come in. He says, I will, not maybe, not possible. I will come in. And I will eat with him or her, and he or she will eat with me. One time I was cleaning my car. I was vacuuming. Going in and in the house and out, you know, getting different things and cleaning my car. And as I'm moving, I began to sense the presence of God upon me. And as I'm sensing the presence of God upon me, I'm starting to, that's Him knocking on my heart. Jesus knocks on all of our hearts this morning. Even if you know God, He's knocking on your heart today. He's knocking on your heart. And so He's coming to me, and I'm like, Lord, what is it? What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to pray for? Is there a task? Is there something you want me to do? A bit like Mission Impossible. You get that letter and you read it. It's like, I want you to go down to here and talk to Jack, you know. But it was nothing like that. Sometimes I'd get things not like that, but I'd get a prompting. Like once I got a prompting, the Lord said, just get in your car, go for a drive. I got in my car, drove down the road, and there's my friend, Tony. Just had an argument with his family, gets in my car, and we're chatting. And I start to share with him. And he's going, Charlie, what is that I'm feeling in the car? What is that? I'm going, Tony, that's the presence of God. That's Jesus coming to you and loving on you. So anyway, so I'm going, Lord, what do you want me to do? What's the plan here? And the Lord said, I'm just hanging out with you. I just want to I've just been with you. Do you want me to do anything? Nothing. Just, he's, that's it. So I'm like, okay. So I kind of just continue on vacuuming the car. And he's hanging with me, you know, just coming and just wants to be with me. Jesus wants to be with you. He wants to be with you. He created us for himself to be in relationship with him. Maybe today you may have been like me. As a young man, I was thinking about what is the purpose of life? What am I here for? And that is two greatest questions that are asked today on Google. What am I here for? And who am I? What is my purpose? At the age of about 13, there was some friends of mine. And one of them was Nick. And we would go around to Nick's house. And we would play soccer. We would play cricket at the front. We would do all these. We'd have fun. You know, there'd be about half a dozen of us. And two doors up, like every good Italian family, you always live near your mother or your sister or your brother, you know. And his cousin comes out to play with us. He was probably about 3 years younger than us. His name was Chess. He comes out. He was a short little guy, and he just, you know, he didn't look the right colour. And when I say he didn't look the right colour, he had a blood disorder. Nick began to tell us after that he's not well. He's got quite a sickness. And so, okay. And Chess, he was such a gorgeous young man. He loved fishing. His dad used to take him fishing lots. And whenever he'd come out and knock around with us, we would always have great fun with him. Time came, we hear news that he's passed away. So anyway, there's a funeral to go to. So we go to the funeral. I was probably about 15 then. And I'm fine, you know, I'm really good. I'm fine. I'm at this funeral, and you know, then you know, you see the grave, you see the casket going down. And then I just flipping started crying, you know. And then after that, you know, I'm going, God, what is life really? What is it really all about? I go to school. I finish high school. What? I'm going to get a car. Okay, get a girlfriend. Then eventually, you get married. You get a house. You know, and the bonus is you get a boat. You know, and don't laugh. How many of you got boats here? All of us. And so I thought, seriously, is that it? There's got to be more. Actually, I'll be honest with you. One of my goals was that I wanted a Lamborghini. I thought, I'm going to get a Lamborghini. I thought, that was one of my, you know. Then at the age of 19, Jesus turned all of that completely around. And so there must be more to life. There's got to be more to life. Maybe you've been asking these questions, and you have experienced the emptiness in your life, the longing that there must be more. Today, Jesus stands at the door. He says, here I am. And he's knocking on the door of your heart. If you hear my voice, open the door. I will come in. I will eat with you. You will eat with me. We will dine together. One of my neighbours, we had a neighbour, and Mrs. LaFalce, the LaFalce family, she was the grandmother, and she lived with her son, and they had this billiard room, and we used to go there, and we used to play billiards lots. We used to play, not billiards, snooker. Pool, sorry. Snooker is too difficult for me. So I have played snooker. So you know, we used to go there and play pool. Anyway, she got older and older, and she went to Royal Perth Hospital. She wasn't well. And I got a call from my mum, you know, Mrs. LaFacci, we don't know what's going to happen. And I said, oh, mum, I'll go visit her, you know. So I finished work and parked my car, and I'm walking down the street towards into Royal Perth Hospital. And I'm just thinking about her, and I'm saying, Lord, just touch her today, Father, you know. And I began to sense that God was going to do something really special for her. And you know, I walked in there, and she was a lovely little lady. She had googly eyes, and this day she had fear in her eyes. She was afraid. So I began to speak to her, began to share the love of God with her, and I says, Miss LaFacci, why don't you ask Jesus to come into your heart? If you die, it's okay. You're going to be okay. It's perfectly fine. And so I held her hand and I prayed with her, and she asked the Lord Jesus Christ into her heart. And if you could have seen the transformation on her face, like that, from death to life, she lasted a couple of weeks. She died. She went from death to life. Praise God. Thank God, there is eternity. There is eternity. There is no doubt about that. Even Rich, you know Richard Dawkins, he's an atheist. And you know what he says? He says that the only thing that he sees that can be any help to our world today, he's looked at all the religions, he's looked at everything. Because the closest thing I can see that can help mankind is Christianity. You sang those songs this morning. Jesus. You know, if you're walking down the road, you come to, you know, and you're lost. You're walking down the road. And there's a person that's standing there, and there's two people that are dead. Right? There's a person that's alive, two people that are dead. You need directions. Who are you going to ask? Who? The person that's alive. So you go to the person that's alive, you say, excuse me, can you tell me? Obviously. Please. So my point is that lots of religions are dead. Buddha's dead. Hindu, many religions are dead, but Jesus, he is alive. So of course you ask him, what's the road to eternity? Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Oh, come on. He is risen. He is alive. He is alive, and he is knocking at the door of your heart today. Please do not pass on this invitation to Jesus. And I Pastor Nigel shared on Good Friday. He shared about the death of his father. I've bloomin' seen a lot of deaths. Shocking. Hate it. And I do. I honestly do. But when it's the family of God, there is such a hope and such a peace. And it is so awesome that these people I am going to see again. I am going to see them again. It is so wonderful. Whether we die, it's okay. Don't be afraid of death. If you know Jesus, there's nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't know him, today he's knocking at the door of your heart. And he wants to come in. He wants to be with you. He wants to be inside of you. You were created. Everybody in this building here today, our children, everyone, you are created. God looks at you and he sees something in you that is really, really divine.
That's right.
He looks at you and he goes, whew, you have my likeness.
That's right.
He says he made you in his likeness.
That's
He created you in his image. He created you to have relationship with him. To have relationship with him. Nick, the man that I knew that had cancer, I used to visit him. I would pray with him. I'd lead him to Christ. And he lasted for months and months and months. One day I went to visit him and he said to me, "Charlie, you're not going to believe me." I says, "What, Nick?" He goes, thinking that I would think that he was crazy, he goes, "Last night, I saw Jesus, I saw his face." I says, "Nick, I believe you." He says, "I feel so at peace." I says, "Nick, that's great. And sometimes you have to prepare people for death. It happens. Nick, that is so good, I believe you. When you go, you're going to be fine." I can't remember how long after that he passed on. I remember his wife saying to me, "He went peacefully, wonderfully. Jesus says, 'Here I am at the door knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me or she.'" You do have a person, purpose. There is a reason why you are here. He loves you. He loves you abundantly. Now, sometimes we don't open the door. We don't want to open the door. Why? Maybe there's been an injustice. You feel like, no. No. I remember when I was a kid at high school, and I invited Michael and Adam over to my house. Michael was a good mate, and Adam was kind of a long distance mate. I kind of knew him. Mike's like, "Oh, can Adam come over?" I go, "Yeah, no worries." So he comes over, and so anyway, hours later they go home, and later that night, my brother Joe, my oldest brother, goes, "Charlie, did you steal my 50 cent pieces out of my ashtray?" I go, "No." "No, I didn't, Joe. Honest." I go, "Serious?" I go, "Yeah." I said, "I had a couple of mates here." And I thought, blooming hell. Adam, I invite him into my home. And he steals. I thought, this is Adam's done this. It'd be him. So the next day at school, "Come up here, Shane." I was very nice. I could have been really harsh. "You stole my brother's 50 cent pieces." He's going, "No, I didn't, Charlie." I go, "You did so." So I'm getting him into a corner, and he wouldn't admit it. So I started hitting him. I started punching him. Now he's on his knees. I was very nice. No, I did. I hit him. And sorry. You flip an animal. Don't ever. You're never coming to my house again. That's it. Anyway, in the year 2000 and something, we had a school reunion. And Adam's there. "Hey, g'day, Adam." And Adam comes up to me. He goes, "Oh, hi, Charlie." "Hey, Charlie, I want to talk to you." I go, "Yeah, sure. What's up?" "Because do you remember all those years ago?" Because I've got to tell you this. He goes, "Every time I go past your mum and dad's house, I've wanted to stop for years and years." I go, "Yeah." I says, "Remember when you thought I stole those 50 cent pieces?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "I didn't." I thought, blooming hell, it was Mike. So I went and got Mike. No. It's too long gone now. So, you know, honestly, I'm looking at Adam and I'm going, I am so sorry. I says, forgive me. I'm sorry. What can you? I said, Adam, I'm just so sorry. Forgive me. And I've been one that is, I know many of us have had injustices towards us and we've given out injustices, I'm sure. Haven't you? Am I the only one? Graham, yeah, you're guilty, mate. You're absolutely off. And so, maybe you don't want to open the door today because you feel like you've had some injustices against you. Today, Jesus knocks at the door of your heart and he wants to come into your life today. Maybe you're people come and knock on your door at home. It's like that. You got 1 minute to quickly clean up. You throw the clothes in the dishwasher. You hide the dishes in the fridge. You just do everything you can real quickly because your parents are there. You want them to be proud. So we try to hide our mess. Jesus sees right through us. He sees all of that. And sometimes you might think that, no, I'm too much of a mess. There's too much to clean up here. There's too much shame. There's too much guilt. There's too much that you've done. That you've done that God cannot forgive. No. Jesus loves you. I was so moved. I was just reading in Luke this morning when Jesus was upon the cross and there was two criminals alongside him, one on one side, one on the other. And one of them says to Jesus, "Oh, you're the Son of God, come on, get yourself down, get yourself off there, Really tough, really arrogant. And the other criminal on the other side goes, "Hey, don't you fear God? Don't you fear God? Jesus says, this man has done nothing wrong. This man has done nothing wrong." And this man turns to Jesus and he says, "When you go to your kingdom, will you remember me?" Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He was a criminal and he feared God. How good. The grace of God reaches into every part and every part of the darkness in any part of humanity. The grace of God is amazing. We had a young man at Port Care last year helping us. Beautiful young man. Funny. Knew lots of people in the neighborhood. And one day we were out driving. I used to talk to him about Jesus, tell him about all the negative stuff about that he'd done. It's okay. It's all right, Chris. Jesus forgives you, he loves you. And so in the van, I prayed with him. While we're driving, he asked Jesus to come into his life. He just had just that little bit of trust, that little bit of faith. I have to be honest with you, he went on and he struggled. He still couldn't, there were some things that he couldn't quite grasp a hold of. He passed away. I was devoured. Still hurts today. But I know that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That day in the van, he just had that little bit. And he asked Jesus into his heart. And I do believe I will see him again. But I've got to tell you, that there's a lot of people that have passed away, that their potential and their talents have gone with them. The most expensive piece of real estate is our cemeteries. Because some people just take that only that one step. Jesus wants to walk with you all the days of your life. All the days of your life. Not just for one moment. We can't hide. He sees straight through us. I remember about a month after I was walking with Jesus, I went away with some friends. And I went to a couple of places that was just not, wasn't healthy. I didn't do anything that was, but it just, grugginess, just felt really yuck. Really yuck. I thought, I'm not going to worry about that. That's okay. Thinking God can't see that. If I push it out of my conscience, I'll push it out of his conscience, And as I was thinking, so this is a really bad picture, but I was in the shower. And the Lord said, and I felt like the Lord speak to me, knocking on the door of my heart saying, hey, I want to forgive you. I want you to come clean. See, his character is like this. He says, I am faithful, I am just to forgive you of all your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So even as we walk with Christ, we're going to do some things that are, we're going to see some things that are, she says, hey, come back to me. For many of us here today that know Jesus, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. And maybe for you, you've been so busy and you've kind of left him in the background. You've left him outside your house. And you're just doing... You come to church. Oh, you come to church on the Sunday. But you're not walking with him like you used to. Been busy. Maybe you're doing really, things are going well for you. You feel successful. You're doing okay. And you feel like, it's all good. Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart today saying, come on, come back. Come back to your first love. Come back to me. I know there was a time, look, can I tell you something? I don't have my act together. This message, you know how challenging this is for me? So good, because this is challenging me as well. It's speaking to me. I love this. I love that Jesus is standing at the door, knocking, saying, come on, let me in. The whole church here today, we need to allow Jesus Christ to come into every room of our lives. Not just, come in, Jesus. And you shove him in the wardrobe. No. Come on. Let's let him in every area of our lives. Let's enjoy abundant life that he's given us. Let's enjoy the whole abundance of God, not just that wee bit. Revelations chapter 21, verse 3 and 4 says this, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Thank God. Thank God for that. Thank God that in eternity there's no more pain. Thank God in eternity there's no more sorrow, there is no more grief, there is no more death. For that old order is passed away. It's gone. Jesus is seated at the throne saying, I make everything new. So today Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. This is the story of Easter. That when you leave here, you will have new life. A brand new view. A brand new point of view of who you are. But there's something about the door. The door handle is not where Jesus is knocking. The door handle is on the other side. He knocks. The door handle is on your side. It's up to you to open that door. I'm just going to give this one final story. Pastor Nigel, 4 years ago, was standing here and he was sharing the love of God. And a young woman, Debbie, brought her friend along. The first time he's been in church, he was sick. I couldn't believe all the illnesses he had. Anyway, because I caught up with him the 3 days after, Pastor Nigel made a call for those who like to receive Jesus. This man came out. He asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart. This was on the Sunday. On the Tuesday, I have caught up with him and I'm talking to him and just sharing some very basics of faith. And we began to talk about his life story. And he's telling me about all these illnesses and all these sicknesses that he's had. And I'm thinking, how does someone get this at this age? After about an hour, we parted companies. Debbie calls me, I think it was on the Saturday. The guy passed away. He died. Died. But thank God he came. He came to the front. He responded to the call. He responded to the knock at his heart. He responded. He did not knock back the invitation. He came and he received Jesus. Thank God. Thank you, Pastor Nigel, that you do that. He says, I am the resurrection, the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Right now, if you're here today and this message is speaking to you, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. Can we all stand up, please? This is a really, really important time, a really important moment. This is your moment. This is your time. This is your time today. If you have never responded to this, to an invitation to receive Jesus Christ, I'm asking you right now. I'm asking you this morning to do that. You be real with God. You be real with Jesus. He will be real to you. You be real with him. He will be real with you. He'll be real to you. He will encounter your life. And you'll go away and you'll know. You'll go, wow. wow, I've encountered Jesus. I have encountered the cross of Jesus Christ. Now I know what they're talking about. Now I understand. Now I see. Now I see. Ah, yeah. Now I get it. Can we all close our eyes, please? So I ask you, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. I want you to respond. I want you to put your hand up right now. Can I see your hand, please? I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. Anybody else over here? Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. Don't knock this invitation back. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. Okay, you can put your hand down. I'd like you to pray. I'm going to ask the whole church to pray with me. And those of you that have been stirred inside and you know that there's knocking, it's time for you to respond. I'm asking you right now to pray this prayer with us. This is a prayer asking Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive you of all sin, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Can we do that? Okay, we're going to pray this prayer right now. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me with your precious blood. Jesus, I thank you for coming into my heart today. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I'm going to ask you to respond. And if you didn't put your hand up the first time, that's okay. You can respond now. I'm going to ask you, please, if you could come to the front. If you could come here so I could pray with you, so I can give you a Bible. Can you come to the front? If you could come, that'd be wonderful. Thank you.